are visiting with us this morning, we are very glad to have you here. It is a blessing. We are honored that you are here with us today. So we hope that as we go through our lessons today that you will be blessed in this message that we have and that we can encourage you to live your life the way that you should. It is an honor for us today to be able to have our Girl Scouts here with us. This is a group that does meet here every Tuesday night. They are a group that works very hard. They are a group that I believe is being taught some very great and important things as they go through their life. You know, I don't know if you paid much attention to their motto that they have, but it is something that is a great thing for each and every one of us to think about. To be able to honor God in what we do in this world today, I know it's a difficult thing, but I also know it is something that is very much needed. So as our young girls here in this group continue to learn and grow and be what they are supposed to be, we want to encourage them and we want to be behind them in all that they do. So welcome this morning. We are glad to have you here. We are continuing on with our study of the life of Christ and all the things that He will teach us through that life that He has given. Now, it's very important for us today to recognize what comes from the heart. Because Jesus made it very clear that what's in the heart is what comes out. And what comes out is important that we show who we follow every day. The matter of the heart, it is such a great thing. I'm going to ask if you would to read with me in Matthew chapter 5, verses 20 through 26. He begins by saying, "For I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven." Now, there is a great battle that is going on throughout the life and the here of Christ, the ministry that He has. There's a battle that is going on between the traditions of the Pharisees, the things that they have come up with, the things that they're trying to get man to follow, and what God wants them to do. And Jesus is saying here, listen, you need to overcome, you need to be better than what they're being by the things that they follow, the things that they say, and what they do. The righteousness is not a self-righteousness like the Pharisees had. It is a righteousness that comes from God and everything that He has given. So He says here, unless you become different, unless you become greater, unless your righteousness exceeds that selfish life that they're living, He says, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Verse 21, "You've heard that it was said to those of old, 'You shall not murder, and whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment.' But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whoever says to his brother, 'Raca,' shall be in danger of the council. But whoever says, 'You fool,' shall be in danger of hellfire. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. Agree with your adversary quickly while you are on the way with him, lest your adversary deliver you to the judge hand you over to the officer, and you be thrown into prison. Assuredly, I say to you, you will by no means get out of there till you have paid the last penny." Now, in these verses that we've just read, there is one thing that is very important. It is what is going to go into your heart. It's what's going to go into your soul. It's what's going to be the thing that drives you throughout your life. The matter of heart. It's a very great struggle that we have in our world every single day. How do you deal with others when you don't get along with them? Have you thought about that? How do you deal with someone else when you just can't get along with them? Now, I realize today that the world has a lot of different ways of dealing with these kind of situations, a lot of disagreements. They will handle things a lot of times their own way. They will get even if that be the case. Whatever the case may be, the world has its way. But what we have to remember today is that is not the way of a follower of Jesus Christ. The way the world handles things has to be different than the way a Christian handles things. And that's where the matter of the heart comes in. That's where the heart plays a great deal in what we're doing. A Christian will try to get along with all people, whether they're Christians or non-Christians, whether they believe or whether they don't believe, whether they are friends or whether they are foes. Brethren, the responsibility of a Christian is to get along with everyone to the best of our ability. The Bible makes it clear that as much as depends upon us, we need to make sure that we get along with those that we're around, those that are in our world as well. And the reason why is because they need to see that as a Christian, my heart is filled with Christ. When that happens, something different comes out. I want us to think about the danger of anger here this morning. And as we think about this, and I've got a few things here, some quotes from different people. Some I have their names, some I don't. One quote says, "Holding on to anger is like grasping a hot coal with the intent of throwing it at someone else." Now think about that for just a minute. Grabbing a hot coal with the intent of throwing it at someone else. You, it says, are the one who gets burned. What's the danger with anger? Well, it affects us differently than it does the one that we're angry at, right? I'll share one more with you. Getting angry is actually punishing yourself with the mistake of others. Somebody makes a mistake and you get mad. And you hold on to that. And it affects you more than it does them. That's a problem that we have over and over again. Now, William Meisner said, "The worst tempered people I've ever met were people who knew they were wrong." Does that not make sense? I mean, we go out in our world today, we see all this anger that is out there, and the problem with it is, more times than not, it's because we recognize, I'm wrong. Well, I don't want you to know that. I don't want you to think that I'm wrong. I don't want you to think that I can't come up with something good. So I get angry about it, and I make a fool of myself. And it just continues to grow and grow and grow. There's danger in anger. Somebody said that anger is one letter away from danger. Well, that's true, is it not? Think about it. I mean, literally and in a way that we need to follow. So let's look first of all at anger that is felt. And it's important that we recognize this and understand what this is. One thing that those in Christ's audience had heard during this time was, "You shall not commit murder." Now, this was the sixth commandment that was given in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 13. This was something that was brought out. "You shall not commit murder." All right, well, that's pretty self-explanatory, is it not? It's wrong for us to go out and murder. Simple. All right, but understand, remember what he said back in verse 20. "Unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the Pharisees," the scribes and the Pharisees, "you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven." Murder is the unlawful killing of one human by another, especially with premeditated malice. Now, that's the way the American Heritage Dictionary defines murder. It is something here that was premeditated. It was thought about. It was brought into the heart. You see, we're dealing with the matters of the heart here. This was something that was brought into the heart, and it continued to grow and grow and grow until it became murder. Well, the people had also heard, "Whoever commits murder shall be in danger of the judgment." This is exactly what Jesus is saying. This is what you've heard. This is how you've been brought up. The Jewish teachers were also teaching that only those who committed the act of murder were guilty. Now, here's where we get into the differences of what's being taught and what Jesus will teach here. Jesus will say, but, you know, this is what you've heard, this is what you've been taught, but I want you to know something different. I say to you, well, what's Jesus doing? He is again bringing out the authority that he has. The authority that is given to him by God. The authority that will stand up and say, I know what you've been taught, but there is something you need to think about. Something that is even better or greater than that. But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. Why is it such? We're going to look at a couple of things here in just a minute, but why is it such an argument here about what's being said? If you're angry with your brother, then you can be in danger of the judgment. Now be careful with that without a cause. Because you'd be surprised how many things we can come, how many causes we can come up with to be angry with someone. It's important that we recognize here what's being said. If we are angry with our brother, and we really don't need to be, then we can be in very great danger in our lives today. Now, the word angry has two meanings in the Greek. The first meaning is an anger that quickly blazes up and then quickly subsides. Now, a lot of us may have this, right? A lot of us may go through this. Somebody cuts out in front of us, and just that quick, you know, it's like we get angry. And then we realize, that was pretty dumb. Number one, they didn't hear a word I just said. Remember the things that we went about? It always comes back on us. It always comes back on me whenever I think about this. Whenever I do this, because it's something that can continue to build and build and build. And the person that just did, they don't have a clue. All right? That's the first kind. The second kind is a more abiding condition of mind. It's something we think about. It's frequently found with a view of taking revenge. Now you want to know why it's not so good to be angry at your brother? Because too many times that anger can lead to something that it should not lead to. Regarding the second meaning here, William Barclay said this. He wrote this. It's the long-lived anger. It's there constantly. Now, I've told some of you before, I'm glad you did not know me some years back. Because I was a totally different person. It did not take much for me to lose my temper very quickly. And there would be times where that anger would continue to be there. And as it continued to grow, it was hurting nobody but me. I continued to let that work on me. It's that long-lived anger that continues on. He goes on to say, it's the anger of the man who nurses his wrath to keep it warm. You ever thought about that? You get angry at somebody and you just keep thinking, oh, and I remember this time when they did this also and this, and we just keep building up and up and up. It's the anger over which a person broods and which he will not allow to die. Oh, I brought up a statement one time that we need to be like God when we forgive. And when we forgive, we need to forget. And I may have shared this with you. If I did, that's all right. I just want you to remember it as well. A lady told me, she said, oh, but the difference is God can forget and we can't. And I thought, well, you know, we need to be the kind of people that are be willing to forget what happened. Just never remember it again. And that went on for a little bit and kind of died out. Didn't say anything. And I was standing up there one day teaching a class, and I made the statement. Boy, I remember when I was such and such age, and my sister did this, and I'll never forget what she did. And this lady raised her hand, and she said, oh, but I thought we were supposed to forget. Okay, I lost that argument. Now, it's the anger which we will not forget. It is the anger which refuses to be pacified, the anger which seeks revenge. And brethren, here's where we struggle. If someone upsets me, and I'm using that word very carefully this morning, because a lot of times that's what happens. Something happens, and I get upset. It's not really anger yet. It's something that, well, I didn't like it. And if I sit back and I allow it to continue to grow, and I continue to think about it, then I begin to think, how can I get even? This is where we have the problem. This is where the danger of this anger comes in. Now, I do want us to recognize this. The Bible does not condemn all anger. All right? We have to be careful about the kind of anger that we have. I'll share with you a couple. I said I'd do this a little while ago. God is angry with the wicked. Psalm 7, verse 11. God is a just judge. Now, I want you to think about this for just a minute, because God is perfect in everything He does. He knows how to use this, where many times when I get angry, I lose all track of thought and I forget what I'm doing. But God is a just judge, and God is angry with the wicked every day. God does not like sin. As a matter of fact, God hates it. In our class this morning, that's one of the things that we covered. God hates sin. He doesn't even want it around. So He cannot like this problem. So it's a righteous judgment. Jesus looked on the hypocritical Pharisees. as he would have to do many times. And he became angry with them. In Mark chapter 3, verse 5, it says that he became angry with them because of the hardness of their heart. They didn't care about this man with the withered hand that they were bringing. They wanted to trap Jesus. Oh, and when it didn't happen, their anger grew even more. And do you realize what caused a lot of the problems for Jesus? It was the anger of the Pharisees. They just allowed it to continue to grow and grow. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that they wanted to kill him. That's how harsh this anger can become. Now, there is righteous anger. There's godly anger. There's anger against sin. There is anger against oppression and all the evil that there is in this world today. Brethren, I need to tell you this right now. We need to be angry with the sin that's overtaking our world. But let us remember how that needs to be done. We need to battle this evil and the wickedness that we have in our world today with a godly anger. Fighting against the things that are wrong. Never turning against God. The problem is, though, that most of us have a selfish anger, don't we? It's something that's happened personally. Oh, we've got a lot of things that we can go back and think about, don't we? A lot of things that have happened to us in the past, and we can hang on to those, whether we've been slighted or injured in some way, whether it's real or imagined. Oh, that gets a lot of people. Is it really something that we need to be angry about, or are we building up more than we should? It can be a big problem. Now, because of this, the Bible denounces anger in general. It's best that we don't lose our temper. It's best that we don't allow anger to get into our hearts. We can deal with things a lot differently, and Jesus is going to deal with that here in just a few minutes. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. There's some other verses there as well that give you this same thing. Colossians 3:8, James chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. These are verses that will help us to understand how dangerous this really is. Now, since there's not any court in this land that's going to take a case of just being angry, I put this down here. There's this just anger I meant as just a court that says, well, you know, I'm bringing somebody to court because I'm angry at you. That's what I'm talking about here. Jesus says that in the heavenly court, one is guilty not only if he murders a brother, but also if he's angry with a brother. Also if he keeps that revenge in his heart. 1 John chapter 3, verse 15. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer. You see, exactly what Jesus is saying here is that we cannot harbor that in our souls, in our hearts. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. If our constant thought, if our constant desire is to get even with someone, then we are not going to be able to abide in Christ. We're not going to be able to abide in what he's taught. We're not going to be able to live in a way that we know that we should. And that's why he's saying what he's saying. Now, Jesus will go behind the sin of murder to the attitude. Okay? The attitude of the heart. What is in here? That's what can result in murder. If we could eliminate unrighteous anger and hatred, just imagine what we could do in our world today. We could eliminate murder. If we didn't get mad, if we didn't want to get revenge, where would it come from? Why do more murders happen? What one reason is there more than anything else? Because somebody gets mad at someone. All right? We hear about this on the news all the time. Well, such and such happened, and the reason why was, oh, they were having a domestic dispute. They got into a fight while they were in the bar. It all comes down to the matter of the heart. What did we allow our heart to be filled with? A basic principle we can pull from the Sermon on the Mount is this. That which leads to sin is also sinful. Okay? If we think about murder in our heart, if we keep it in our heart, that's as sinful as committing the murder. Because number one, we're thinking, I want that person out of my life. I want that person gone. We can't do that as a Christian. So, anger expressed. Second part of verse 22, he says, and whoever says to his brother, Raca shall be in danger of the council. It's important for us to know here how we go from feeling that anger to expressing that anger. Now, if I'm driving down the road and somebody cuts out in front of me and I can scream out as loud as I want to scream, I'm expressing my anger. Whether they hear it or not, I'm still expressing something. Raca means good for nothing. Empty-headed. It means fool, or it means idiot. You ever have these words come out of your mouth? Let's move on. We have to look at the manner in which things are spoken. Okay? We have to be able... Now, I'm going to have to tell myself here just a little bit, because I can be driving down the road and, you know, I'm going the speed limit and everything's going just fine, and somebody decides they can't wait 2 seconds to let me get by. They pull out and they drive, the speed limit's 45, they'll drive 30. And not only do they drive 30, they turn a block away from where they had to hurry up and get out of. And I'm working on it. I'll say something like, really? 2 seconds is all you needed to let me get by here, and I would have been out of your way. Wouldn't have been a problem. But you know how we say, how we hold on to certain things can really be a great problem in our life. Many things that we say may not be derogatory in and of themselves, may not be any way that we meant it to be, but many times that deep hurt can be brought out in a spiteful way. I mean, people will think of it that way in how we say certain things. I know we've all done this before. We said something that we didn't mean it that way, but that's how it was taken. So, careful how we express what we do. A conscientious Christian does not use words like this, but the worldly minded do. This is why it's important that we work on this difficulty in our life, this struggle that we have every day. Now, expressing anger is more serious consequences than just feeling anger. Right? I can feel the anger, but I don't always have to let everybody else know that it's there as well. Jesus gave another example of anger when he said in the same verse, but whoever says, you fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Fool means stupid. Okay, I know I may get in trouble for this because I know a lot of times we don't like to use this word, but this is what it means. It means foolish. Morally worthless. You see, how many times do we think, well, you know, we look at somebody and we think, well, they're just a fool, aren't they? But we don't think about this meaning when we say it. It means that morally, you are as worthless as you can be. This is what Jesus is talking about. It refers to a spiritual condition of an individual. We look out and we think, you know what? There's not a thing in this world that can help you. There's nothing that can be done to make you any better. Well, that's where I don't have the right to do that, because only Jesus is qualified. I'm not. Okay, I'm not at all qualified to make that. Only Jesus can do just that. Someone said that hatred in the heart is thought murder. When you build this up in the heart, is that not what's being thought of more times than not? Well, if it's true, then speaking to one another in an insulting fashion is nothing more than tongue murder. I say something that will hurt you. I say something that will hurt you in the eyes of someone else. Careful. Characteristic of a Christian is that he treats others with respect. I don't know the person that pulled out in front of me. I don't know if the person even saw me. I don't know what was on the mind of that person. I still need to have respect for each and every one of them, no matter whether they did it on purpose or not. That's not my call. Okay? Mean and hateful words, they don't have any place in a Christian's heart. None. Nowhere. Message of Matthew 5, 21 and 22. Again, is to do all in our power to keep angry thoughts out of our hearts and angry words off of our lips. Now, the Bible teaches just this thought. How we need to, the words that we say need to be words that are encouraging, words that will help someone else in their life. Now, let's look at a need for speedy recovery, reconciliation, because many times when we fly off the handle, you might say, we say something that we don't need to say, or we do something we shouldn't do. How important is it that as soon as that happens, now remember, as a child of God today, my responsibility is to recognize the wrong. It's important for me to know that if I do something wrong in my life, I need to make it right. That's the thing that we're dealing with here in this thought of Matthew chapter 5 here, verses 23 through 26. Jesus recognized that even if we have the best of intentions, even if we have the greatest thought, whatever it is that we're trying to do, we often do not control our thoughts or our tongues, do we? And what does James 3:8 say? Well, no man can tame the tongue. It's an unruly evil. It's full of deadly poison. It's something that can hurt us a great deal. Well, how should we respond? What is it that we should do? How should we react? This is important in our lives today because with this, we need to recognize what it is that we're doing. Our text indicates here that we should lose no time. No time in making matters right with both God and man. Do you realize that when I get angry and I do the things I do, I'm going against God? I understand I'm getting upset at someone that, you know, that's here like I am, but do we recognize the fact that we're going against God and what He said? Jesus gave instructions to the offender. He is to go to his brother. But have you think about this as well. If I offend someone, it's my responsibility to go to them, right? What happens if you're the one that's offended? What's your responsibility? Well, is it not the same thing? If you've been offended, you know what? I may not know I've even done that. Your responsibility would be to come to me and say, you know, that offended me, and I don't know how you meant it, and we need to work it out together. Don't go to 10 or 20 other people and say, well, that preacher, he really offended me today, and see what I can do about that. Well, I'll tell you what we need to do about it. We need to go to the one who's offended us, right? If both do what they should, then there's going to be a happy meeting between the two. There's going to be a reconciliation there between the two. But what happens if one does not do what they should do? Let you off the hook? No. Because that does not excuse the other one from doing what's right. A lot of times, you might hear this said, well, you know what? He didn't come to me. He offended me, but he didn't come to me to ask for forgiveness. So, I'm done with it. Well, we need to go and we need to do all that we can to be reconciled to a brother or sister. Everything we can. What I did may be something that could cause a soul to be lost, and I might not know it. So it's important that you come to me. It's important that you say to me what needs to be said in a loving way, recognizing the problem that's there. Jesus said, then come and present your offering. See, if there's a problem there and we allow that problem just to keep going and keep building, what's it going to do in our time that we're here to worship God? Well, it could affect our relationship, right? The relationship that we have with our brother and sister. It could really have a great effect on our relationship that we have with God. Number one, my mind is not where it needs to be. Well, I'm sitting here thinking, you know, that so-and-so did this to me. And all this time, I'm sitting there singing, you know, love your brother or love one another, you know, and this. And am I even hearing the words? Do I know what I'm even saying? Not if I'm allowing that to direct my thoughts and my heart. In verse 25 and 26, Jesus used a second example here regarding the need for immediate reconciliation. He says, agree with your adversary quickly while you're on your way with him. In other words, see if you can't do the right thing before you end up in court. Now, a lot of times we know that whenever someone is against someone else, that's the first thing they want to do. I'm going to take them to court. I'm going to get what I can get. It's best that we work on this before we ever get there. And again, this key word is the word quickly. whether it's with a brother or an adversary, don't wait. Don't wait. Because only in waiting can we find a great deal of problems. When you're not getting along with someone, no matter what the situation may be, reconcile it quickly. Do it immediately. Don't let it sit there and wait. Number one, you may forget exactly what happened. You may make something up, and then you're going to really have problems. But isn't it true that many of us tend to delay going to another when there's a misunderstanding? Well, if I go and say something to somebody, they're going to get mad at me for it, and then we're really going to have a fight, and then this is going to happen, and we're going to involve folks. Don't be afraid to talk to someone out of love. Don't be afraid to try to help someone out of love. If I'm offending you, then lovingly come to me and say that. And you know what? I'm not going to get mad. I may get upset at myself because you need to think before you say something. As a result, the matter will begin to fester. And as it festers, it becomes a rift between the two people. And when it becomes a rift, then it becomes almost impossible to repair. Do you realize today how many brothers and sisters in Christ will not talk to one another because of something that happened they refuse to talk to each other about it? Ooh, I think you might be surprised that the number is a great deal higher than what we might think about. Okay, the sixth commandment says you shall not murder. Jesus said you should not even harbor evil feelings towards others. Okay, don't even allow it to be in there. If you become alienated from someone, you should be reconciled as quickly as possible. Don't let it go any farther. And Jesus made it clear that our relationship with our brothers and our sisters can affect our relationship with God. I want to close this morning with this verse. Now, think about this very carefully today. If someone says, I love God, and we don't have a problem saying that, do we? But if someone says, I love God and hates his brother, you know what that makes me? A liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? Do you know what God looks like? A lot of times we have an argument about, you know, how different we are in certain ways. We don't know what God looks like. So how can we say that we love God? You know how? Love one another. Love your brother and sister in Christ. Don't hate. Get hatred completely out of your thoughts. He goes on to say, and this is the commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. 1 John 4:20-21. Question. Do we love God this morning? And if we do, will we honestly step back and say, well, you know what, if I've got a problem with someone, if I've got this that I've had between them for a while, if there's something going on, will I go to them and try to work it out? Will I go to them with love in my heart to try to make things right? Will I go to them and try to show the love that God has for me? You see, because if I will, now I begin to understand what we're talking about. When I recognize the need to reconcile myself with someone that I've pulled away from or I've had a problem with or whatever the case may be, if I will go to that person, I will find what I need. Brethren, I want us to think about something else this morning. Jesus has given us exactly what we need to do to be a child of God. And if I'm going to step back this morning, I'm going to say, well, you know what, Jesus, I read what you're saying here, but I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do something different. I want you to understand what you're doing. You are actually causing a rift between you and God. Because you're not agreeing with God, you need to go and you need to see. You need to reconcile. You need to be reconciled to Him. And I can tell you this without a doubt today, there's only one way that we can be reconciled to God. And I wish I had the time to give you all the scriptures this morning that could tell you that. But let me say this. One way, the blood of Christ. We are reconciled because of what Jesus did for us. Was there hatred involved in Christ's life? Oh, every day. They could not wait to get him off the scene. But yet Jesus forgave them. He did not allow what was being done to stop him. So he continued to live in the will of God. He did not let hatred rule his life. Because I'm going to tell you, if he did, we're lost this morning. Because he would have not have gone through what he did. But because of the love that he had, the true love that he had for each and every one of us, he went to that cross and died. And brethren, the reason why he did that was so that our sins could be forgiven. So that we could be added to his body. So we could become something that we would not be able to do on our own. So I want to ask you this morning, have you obeyed the gospel? Have you listened to the words of God? Have you followed what Jesus taught and been obedient to that word? If you have, then I ask that we live a faithful way to God throughout the rest of our life. Now, if not, let me tell you this morning, Jesus said that we must believe. But if we truly believe, we're going to believe everything that He says. I must repent. That repentance is making a change. It's making a change in my attitude. Not living to get revenge, but living to love my brothers and sisters. Living to love those who are lost in this world. Living to help those find Jesus Christ. That's what I want to change from living from the world to changing the world to follow Christ. Now, I'm going to have to confess Him before others. And I'm going to have to stand up and say that I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And I believe without a doubt today He's the one I need to follow. Then I'm going to have my sins washed away by being buried with Him in baptism. And the reason why is because Jesus said, that's what's right. That's what's right. Do we want our sins forgiven? Well, Paul was asked the question, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. See, I can't do that any other way. If I am, I'm at odds with God. I'm fighting against God. I can't do that. Not if I want to be with Him in heaven. So if I want to be a child of God today, yes, I have to believe what the Word says. I have to repent of my life. I have to confess Jesus Christ. And I have to be buried with Him in baptism so that when I'm raised up, I now have something that I can follow. A faithful life that God has given through Christ. Are you that child today? If you've not been baptized, we want to encourage you this morning. Please put Christ on in baptism. Walk with Him. Walk with us together as we share in this time. And let's let God lead us to heaven together. Let's not get mad. Let's not get upset because we're teaching truth. Let's continue to teach truth all our life and please God in everything that we do. So we stand and sing our invitation song this morning. If there's a need you have and we can help out, we can assist, please let us do that. If you need to be baptized into Christ, I want to encourage you this morning to do that and begin your walk with God as we stand and sing.